This is Shir HaShirim, Perek Zayin, Posuk. Posuk Zayin, right? Okay. Perek Zayin, Posuk Zayin, Shir HaShirim. Mayofis umano amt avo batanugim. How beautiful, Yofis is beautiful, how beautiful, how Naim is pleasant. A love amongst the tanugim, the pleasures, the delights. Okay, Rashi, what does that mean? Acha sheporat kilos kol eiver ve'eiver. Until now, he was explaining in different parts of the body and the special beauty that they had. Kol al kol dover mayofis kuloch umano amt ledabek boch avo ha'huigenes lehisanik bo. To how beautiful you are. To cling to you with a love that is appropriate lihisanibu, not stama love, but a love that can bring pleasure. It's the you are so beautiful that the love that you're so beautiful that you can evoke a love, not stama love, but a love that can really. There's two parts to love, I guess. Avo. It's stam ahava. Ahava is you love, you appreciate the person's milas. That's what the Sepurna says. She yismach oihei b'malas hane'av. Ahava ha'huigenes lihisanik bo. This is even more. This is a love that's appropriate, that one can even delight in the love. In other words, there's a love. I guess there's a love that I appreciate. There's a love. It's there, but you don't feel the pleasure of it. But then there's a love that you know. We always think that that's more superficial, you know. But it seems that there's a level after that, as Ava again is speaking, talking about Klal Yisrael. Now the question is, who's talking over here? The question is, who is talking?
Well, we were just talking about all the Aver and Aver. That's all about Klal Yisrael, no?
Yeah, no, but the question is, it says someplace here that... That's the Umais speaking to Klal Yisrael.
Oh.
That's the question. Who is talking? Well, let's see at the beginning. Shnei Shodaich, Shori Chagan Hasar. Let's start from the beginning here. Mayofa for Mayach Manoli Masnodiv. Haim Omrim Lo. We want to cleave to you. This is the Goyim. The beginning of this whole thing, we want to cling to you because of the beauty and prominence that we saw in you when you were still beautiful. In other words, the Klal Yisrael has such a beauty. Let's see if it starts over here. Omrim Eli Shuvi Shuvi Me'achar Amokim. They're trying to get me to go away from Hashem, and then the Klal Yisrael refuses. Yeah, so they said, "What can you give me that will equal what I have from Hashem?" And then Haim Oimrim Lo. So we're speaking now of a series of praises that the Umayis Olam have for Klal Yisrael. And I guess that, if you want to reflect on that in the Golus, it's the same kind of a concept that we reflect about our love to Hashem. Is that if Shlomo HaMelech tells us it's here, so we don't see it. We're missing something. So it sounds like that the Goyim have deep down also a sense of appreciation of Klal Yisrael. Maybe that's true. They see their special status. They see their uniqueness. They see their beauty. And mainly they feel jealous, and that causes, it could be. But anyway, it seems that this is the Umayis talking to Klal Yisrael. So on Posuk Zayin, it's like this. Acha sheporet kilos kol eiver ve'eiver. After having mentioned the praises of each part of the body, that was, symbolic of praising Klal Yisrael in all its beauty. There's a general klal. Mayofis kulach, you're so beautiful. Umano amt, and you're so pleasant. Ledabek boch avo ha'higenes lihisanik bo. To cling to you with a love that's appropriate to have pleasure in. In other words, it sounds like the Goyim look to Klal Yisrael not only with a love that they appreciate their milas, but they want to. They have a special pleasure in connecting with Klal Yisrael. It's a love that they know from this love they can have pleasure. And the truth of the matter is, in the Goyish world, they used to say, I don't know, I haven't heard these things for a while, they used to say it was a big hit to land a Jewish boy. You know, they make the best husbands. That's what they used to say. The Jewish boys make the best husbands. You know, and so there was such a thing, there is a certain appreciation there. And maybe it's covered and bloodied with all kinds of jealousy and hatred. But there is they wouldn't be so jealous if there wouldn't be such an appreciation. And it seems that they have that capacity to appreciate that. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Zeis kemosech. This is your height, your stature. Domsel somer. You're compared to a palm tree. Palm tree is very tall. Shodaich, and your breasts, keashkolos, like clusters of fruit, of what comes in clusters, and grapes, things like that. Tzirashi, zois kamos domsel somer. Ro'inu noi kemosech. We saw the beauty of your height, b'mein Nebuchadnezzar, in the times of Nebuchadnezzar. Shekol ho'umos hoyu koir ois v'noiflois. All the nations were bowing in front of him. In front of Nefnei Hatzelim. He wanted to convert them all. His God, his Avodah Zorah. And they all bowed down in front of his idols. You stood tall like a palm tree and refused to bow. So here you have again the goyim ra'inu noi kemosech. Yeah? Zeis kemosech dom sol somer. And ra'inu noi kemosech. We saw the beauty of it. In other words, the goy can appreciate the beauty of the Jew who refuses to bow literally to that.
I'm sorry, Rabbi got that text. I forwarded the.
Okay, I didn't know. Yeah, thank yeah. you. Okay, yeah. So that they can appreciate that. V'shodayach kashkolos, Daniel, Hananya, Mishael, v'Azariah. These are all who were ready, who gave, in the furnace and so forth. They were given a Kiddush Hashem. Shoyul loch kishodayim linoik mehem. They're like shodayim that you can nurse from them. Domul ashkolos shemashpiyos mashke. They were like to clusters of grapes that they give forth a drink. In other words, they provide for everybody else. Kachem hishpiu lehonik ulelamed es hakoil she'ein yirak yiraschem. So too, they were mashpia to nurture, to lehonik is when a baby nurses, to nurse and to teach everyone that there's no yira. There's no fear like your fear. There's no God like your God. Ad kan kilusu ho umais. Ah, as he says. Until here was the kilus. This is the praise the umais we're giving Klal Yisrael. V'kan ve'elech divrei shechino legolus Yisrael shebein ho umais. Now the shechina is talking to the Jews in exile. Okay, so until now it was the umais. So the umais, look what the umais see. The umais see mesiras nefesh. Daniel, Hananya, Mishael, Azario, they were like shodayim. What is? They served as a source of nourishment and of food, a drink, a sustenance, because through their example they were mashpia that everybody. And this is not only to the goyim. This is not only to the Jews. This is to the goyim. She'ein yirak yiraschem. Basically, when the goy sees Mesiras Nefesh, he sees Ein Yira Ki Yiraschem. Forgive me, but what do you see today with this Mesiras Nefesh that goes on?
To
Meshugoyim, the terrorists, what do you call them? Suicide bombers? What's the chilek?
Not going no place.
What? Well, they think they're going someplace.
Whenever I see any article or anything, I wish I'd play devil's advocate.
What?
I wish I'd play devil's advocate whenever I hear any stories or anything. For what they believe, assuming they're not maniacs, well, I'm definitely projecting my feelings on them, but assuming they're not maniacs and they're following their religion, then they're the most religious. The ones who are willing to give up their life for that, they're the most religious.
But I'm trying to see this difference, because they're killing themselves. That's
that's even greater. Yeah, would we do that?
What?
It's for Kiddush, it's for their Kiddush Hashem, whatever they want to call it.
You mean if Hashem told you kill yourself, so that's what you have to do.
The world looks like we're crazy, like we look at them like they're crazy. But Hashem told,
Hashem told Avram to shecht Yitzchok, so he would do it. So here they think they're
being... The problem is that they're not acting based on their God, they're maniacs.
What?
If they were really acting based on their religion, then I would say that the Emesis, they're the most religious. No? The Suicide Bombers are the most religious Arabs.
So what are you saying? So the psul is that their intention is not...
The psul is that they're not doing it for that reason. I think they're just maniacs.
The psul is that that's not their intention.
How do you know? They're dead. How do you know what they are?
I don't know. It could be maybe the other most religious. I don't know. It could be. It's a very hard way to look at that.
But little kids doing this kind of stuff, like 20-year-olds, they can't get a level so quick. It's like...
Right. They can't get on that level.
They're talked into it.
They're taught into it.
It's a culture. Looking at glory, not the glory of God.
Well,
but still think about it, but it's still...
They're being promised some... really, the whole thing is based on a promise of... Isn't it they've been promised 70 virgins or something?
Yeah.
That's
okay, we look at that and laugh, but from their point of view, maybe they're the most religious.
And they're doing it for the pleasure.
It's very hard. It's very hard to actually give up your life. I don't know if that's their situation. Maybe because they're brought up that way so they can do it easier.
They're brainwashed.
Huh?
They're brainwashed.
Yeah, I could say that about you.
I was about to say that, actually.
Who says build up their heart? Maybe it's just they're off their hatred.
What?
Is that the point of hatred that they're willing to give up their own life?
Yeah, that could be. That could be. So, but what is the...
The difference is we're right, they're wrong. They know. This is Shara between the Sharbi Tafel. They know also. They know their religion's a joke. They know that. Deep.
I would say something else. There's something here. There's something. You're giving up your life for your belief. You're giving up. That's what they're doing. They're killing. Their belief is they have to kill. And they have to give up their life to kill. They're killing themselves.
Why can't the difference be that Hanani and Mishael Mazariah gave up their lives for God and what they were doing was correct, and what these people are doing is just...
So, but why do the Goyim see that Mesiras Nefesh and they say, Ein...
Because that's the real deal. So that's something to You could
in other words, they can sense the difference.
You could see through something that's fake. These people are just have horrible lives and are looking for some purpose. So, you know.
And here,
you could technically say the same thing. They're looking for a purpose, but it's the real thing.
I would say something else. The Goyim. Know what the truth is. I have a story that I tell. I used to fly from LA to San Diego to meet a couple of people there. So once I got on the plane, it's like a 20-minute flight. I come to sit down in my aisle seat, and opposite me is an elderly couple with a Midwestern accent. When they start to talk, they say, Shalom. I said, Shalom, we support Israel. So I said, have you ever been there? He said, no, we can't afford it. I understood why Israel was in trouble. But supporters can't afford to go, so you can imagine. Anyway, but then he says, Israel belongs to Jewish people. Because God gave it to them. We know so because it says so in the Bible. That was the end of the conversation. That was the end of the flight. It was a very, very quick flight. So I'm getting off the plane. I should think to myself, what's going on here? Here you have these two goyim. I think there's even more than a billion like them in the Bible. The Bible says that the Jew that God gave the Jews Israel, so Israel belongs to Jewish people, and we have our people that don't know. So I realize that the Pshat is like this: there are people they have a better system. They say it's all true. We don't have to do it. But it's all true, you don't have to do it, I got no problem. You know, but you want me yet to accept it as true and then to accept all the responsibilities and burdens and 613 problems? I'm not interested. But I realize that goyim understand the truth. They understand that what the Jew lives according to a direct directive from God. They don't have such directives. Muhammad gave directives because he said God appeared to him in a dream. Maybe yes, maybe no. You know, Paul said Yoshka appeared to him 30 years after he died on the road when he was walking to Damascus and said, we should now go do whatever, whatever, whatever. He says, there's no basis for it. So they themselves must sense that there's a difference. In fact, I'll prove to you that they sense it. Because every Bible, and even the Quran, all refers to Mount Sinai. And all they have to talk about a public revelation and public miracles are to the Jews. Why should they do that? This is because religion is ridiculous if you don't have God communicating to a person, right? All of a sudden God spoke to you, or tell me another one, right? The terrorist says, it really happened. But that's the only time it really happened. That's the only time it was public. It's the only time it's really known. So they have to record that in order to perpetuate their variations, which don't make any sense. That's another plane ride I had. This time it was from Toronto to Edmonton. And we're going to do a seminar in Jasper, Canadian Rockies. So I sit down there, they bring me my kosher breakfast, and the guy sitting across from me says, I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for you. He says, the breakfast is very good, and besides that, they're serving from the front, and we were in the back of the plane, you're going to have to wait 20 minutes till they get. He says, no, that you're bound by these archaic laws of Moses. They don't have that. They're free, whatever, told me some stupid thing, and that was it. So I wanted to get him off my back. I said, tell me, do you believe in the Bible? Old Testament, everything's 100% true. He says, you know what happens to a prophet who does miracles? Great magnitude. And then he says, let's leave this God and let's start a new religion. And he says, yeah, I know. Turns to the window and looked out the window for 4 hours straight. Didn't look my way again. Didn't even eat his tray for breakfast when they brought it. They have no answer to this question. I once had a guy I got to study to be a priest that was mamash a genius. Like, he found out later he was Jewish, whatever it was. There's no answer. There's no answer to this question. The Torah says beferish that even if a Navi will do miracles and then say in the name of God that he said to veer from what he already said, it can't be done. Because that's the insurance policy that the Torah remains intact. Because even God can't change it. He'll come down with a basco right now and say, no. Sorry, that's what you told us. Sorry, take a walk. It's an amazing system. So some of the goyim know that too. So when they see Jewish Mesiras Nefesh, they know it's Mesiras Nefesh based on a directive from the Creator. That's what Ein Yerosim Kiyah. That's what it means.
This is an older couple that comes to the house.
What?
For Shabbos, the house for Shabbos. Yeah. It's an older couple. And they were part of a church somewhere in the south.
Jewish?
What?
They're Jewish?
Now they're Jewish. They used to be hardcore Christians.
Well, I thought
there was a whole
Jews
church.
In it, yeah.
Huh?
I thought maybe they were Jews.
No. So it was like a mini church. They believed in the Old Testament.
What?
They believed in the Old Testament.
No.
They were acting based on the Old Testament. They had like one of those like more toward like what the real religion is. And they basically, all of them together basically decided it doesn't make any sense. And this whole church converted.
Really?
To Judaism.
Real conversion?
Yeah.
Amish, yeah. Like fruit, like
they said some of them weren't proper conversions, but this couple and a couple other ones specifically got
really.
They came to New York and
they're from now and
they're from, yeah.
Wow.
They've been from for 15 years, but they still have like crazy southern accent. And,
they have children?
Huh?
They have children?
Yeah. The kids they converted after the kids were already like all the teenagers, and they didn't want to deal with it. They didn't convert. But.
Okay. Anyway, so that's what it seems to be. So, where are we here? Oh, I can't listen to this. Let's do one more pasuk. Tess. Omarti el of a summer. I said I will go up on top of the palm tree. Oichas of a sansinov. I'll take hold of its branches. Viyono shodayich. And now let your breasts eshkalos hagefen be like the clusters of the gefen, of the vine, v'reach apeich et hapuchim, and the aroma that comes forth from your face like apples. Let's see what this is. Amati el v'soba mispoyer ani Bein chayolois shelamala bochem. I'm despoiled, I'm praiseworthy, I'm boasting about bein chayolois shelamala bochem. I'm Hashem is bragging about us to His heavenly hosts. That I will be elevated and sanctified through you in the lower worlds. And when you're being mekadesh my name bein umos. So again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the mesiras nefesh of Klal Yisrael, which the goy saw and said, "Is ein yerosam kiraschem." And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees and he says, "I brag to the chayolim, the pamale shomale or whatever, that I am elevated through your actions when you mekadesh my name bein umos." Echozov san sinov, grab its branches. Vani echoiz va'ed bak bochem san sanim anof. And these are branches. Because I'm going to take hold of you. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees Klal Yisrael being meis nefesh and grabs hold of them. I guess that's a sign of love. Like I'm so overwhelmed with appreciation. I'm bragging about you. V'yu no shodaych va'ato ha. I can't see. Ha'amanti. What's that word? Ha'amanti. Ha'amti. It means I made true, and made true my words as dvorai. Shaloi tispati acharei ha'umois. That you will not be enticed after the nations. Ve'yu ha'tovim v'chachomim shebein oimdim sheboch oimdim emnosan. And the good ones and the chachomim will stand firm in their emuna. Hoshiv dvorim la'mefatim oisam, to answer back to those that would persuade them to join them. Sheyilmadu mehem haktanim shebochem, so that the lower ones, the smaller ones amongst you, should learn from them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that Klal Yisrael, I guess that's the prayers, Re'ech HaPech Ketapuchim, that the, no, that's not Re'ech HaPech, that's Shodayech, Shodayech Ta'ashkoilois, that you not only didn't get dissuaded against my words, but the good and the chachomim amongst you stand firm in their emunah, and to answer back to these people, that the ketanim should learn from them. So in other words, it seems there's two things. It's very interesting that one thing is they stood firm, they were ready to give their lives not to give in to this. But there was another thing. The Tevim and the Chachomim, they stood firm in their emunah, and they knew what to answer. They answered these people, and that's what the younger generation learned from them. What? Those that would dissuade them, those that would get them to do Avodah Zarah, they want to dissuade them to assimilate, they want to lead them astray.
What's that to do with Shadayach?
I guess that's where they get nourishment. They get the nourishment.
You're saying the chachamim and who?
Yeah, the chachamim and the tevim, that they're nourishing the next generation. How are they nourishing the next generation? By they're capable of answering. So it's interesting. So it seems from here that it's not enough just to see the example. You have to know what to answer to. See, what do you mean? Guy threatens you. Go do other desor. I'll kill you. Okay, kill me. Seems that that's not enough. But they also have to hear that they have answers, that they can explain this. This is very, very important. I saw once a tshuva from Reb Moshe, where he writes on, when he talks about the parsha of Shemitah, and Mayim Shemitah Etzlav Sinai, and that you learn from Shemitah that the whole Torah was given at Har Sinai, because Shemitah couldn't have been made up by Moshe Rabbeinu, because how could he say that if you keep the Shemitah, then every sixth year you'll have a bumper crop, and you'll have enough for the seventh, the eighth, and the ninth, until you plant, and that can only be the Hashem. So that's from Shemitah we know that the mitzvah is from Hashem, it's not Moshe Rabbeinu made it up, because he couldn't control the crops in that way. Fine. But he writes with Moshe and says, you see that this was important in the days of Chazal, even when they saw Yireyim and Shleimim walking the face of the earth. In other words, they saw super tzaddikim. It's not enough. You see here, it seems you see Mesiras Nefesh. That's not enough. In order for the next generation to be Mushpa, they have to witness the Mesiras Nefesh, you also have to have the answer. How do you answer these people? That, I believe, was part of the problem in the previous generation. You found people that their parents were tzaddikim, their parents were meisei nefesh v'yiddishkeit. Their parents didn't go to work Shabbos and they had Monday, they had no job again, and they went on like this for years and years. Kamen's great-grandfather, I think, had 82 jobs in 2 years. 82 jobs, because every time he didn't come Shabbos, they fired him on Monday. Like that, like 82 jobs in 2 years. So that's a tremendous hashpah, but it's not enough. When these kids asked, well, why do you do that? What's it about? And why do you have to, why can't you go to public school? And why can't you eat, though they had to go to public school, why can't you eat treifa? Why do you keep Shabbos out? Shteit kishrugin in the Torah. That was the answer.
Who said this?
What?
Who said this?
Said what?
This whole speech you're giving, unless it's you giving, saying it.
Me, I said it many times.
No, I thought you mentioned something about Moshe Feinstein. I thought you were maybe recording him.
And Moshe just said that from the parish of Shemitah, you see, because Chazal say Mayin Shvita on Sinai, that Shemitah teaches us that the whole Torah was given on Sinai. So Moshe just wrote that you see that even in Kufis, where they had such role models, you know, and still they needed more. They needed to explain to them the Ikri or Emuna. And I think that's what it says over here too, that the shodayach ka'ashkalois is they see your godless, they see your mesiras nefesh, they see your refusal to give in, but they also see you answering. Why not? If they didn't hear that, it wouldn't be complete enough, even though they have such a tremendous example. What do you have to say?
It's logical to me.
Oh, it is logical.
They would think the parents are crazy.
What?
They don't really know what. They're based almost on nefesh. Okay. Maybe they're.
But, you know, it's very logical. On the other hand, it's very lacking today. Now it's a little bit more since some people started making the ruckus 20, 30 years ago. But when I said it used to be, what? Shtek Yeshub in the Torah. You ask, why? Hashayetz. Why is a crooked letter? That's what my grandmother used to say. Vi is a crooked letter. Vi, you know, it's Vi. You know, what kind of business?
Isn't that the highest level to some extent?
It is, but
you don't start at the highest level.
You don't start at the highest level, and you don't give the highest level when people are not ready for it.
No, I've heard before that when people say, why do we learn the Torah? They say, just learn and you'll know. So just learn and you'll be okay. I heard that answer given. Why do we learn? Just learn.
You hear a lot of answers.
So I just want to know,
makes
like,
it right?
In the world, that's what it seems. The push is...
It works out eventually. The people who can say learn are not the ones that do it. Eventually, they'll get to the point where they appreciate it.
But that's what people say. If you learn,
maybe yes, maybe no. But
it
certainly is not solid, and it's not solid enough for long enough that it exposes you to very serious temptations and dangers. And you see here clearly, you need both. He's praising the Chachomim and the Tovim. Not everybody can do it. The Chachomim and Tovim, that they're able to answer. That seems
that's
to be critical, too.
Ashkolos means that they have the ability to
get answers. Yeah, they're giving forth, a cluster gives forth a lot of wine, a cluster of grapes. They're giving forth. They can give forth, they can articulate. Okay, Shkoyach.
All right.